Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, Rick O'Shea is here because we dragged him in, basically. Margaret Atwood's new book, The Testaments, came out this week and it's already nominated for the Booker Prize. Margaret Atwood is, of course, the author of The Handmaid's Tale. The adaptation of The Handmaid's Tale became a complete TV and cultural phenomenon over the last few years. So if you're somebody who loves the TV show but you don't know a lot about Margaret Atwood, fear not, because I'm going to put Mr. Book Club himself, Rick O'Shea, on the spot now to bring us up to speed. Rick, first of all, welcome to the programme. Secondly, The Testaments. Is this the follow-up to The Handmaid's Tale?
It is and it isn't. In terms of, for those people who've actually read The Handmaid's Tale, you will know that the book ends on a fairly ambiguous note. No spoilers, even though the book's been out since 1985. It ends at a moment where you're never quite sure what happens to the main character, Offred, at the end. She's taken away in a van. Has she survived? Has she not? We don't really know as far as the book goes. Margaret Atwood herself said over the years, I was never really sure how I was going to write something else and get back into Offred's voice. And it was only years later where she said, hang on, maybe I don't need to do that. So the brand new book, The Testaments, is set 15 years later. And it's three stories of three characters, all of whom, and I'm not going to reveal anything for you, but all have peripheral parts in the initial story of Handmaid's Tale, but this is their stories moved much further on. It's still set in the same world. Gilead still exists. Terrible things are still being done to people, and then people are still trying to escape from there across the border into Canada.
So, I wonder, will that be at odds with season four of The Handmaid's Tale, if, for instance, that might be the last one in terms of television?
The weird thing is, and I think there's going to be two things happening here, one of which is MGM and Hulu, who are the people who make Handmaid's Tale, have already bought the rights to The Testaments to make a Testaments series. So there will be season four of Handmaid's Tale for those people who are interested.
Wait a minute, there might be season four of Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
And supposedly, it might even be 10 or 15 years later, who knows. And supposedly then The Testaments will be possibly a different story.
But that's it. But I think it's a question of same world but different timelines. So one is set where Handmaid's Tale is, and then one is set 15 years later. And, you know, never the twain will meet, kind of, I think. And again, that's all very early speculation because they've just announced they bought the rights.
Okay, now, was The Handmaid's Tale the book that really brought Margaret Atwood to international prominence? Or was it one of her earlier ones?
I think there's an element of, for those people who don't really know much about Margaret Atwood, she is Canadian. She has been writing ever since she was a kid. She initially started writing poetry. She had her first poetry collection out in the early 60s. Her first novel came out in the late 60s, a book called Edible Woman. She's written extensively in non-fiction all throughout that time as well. I mean, at this stage, she's got 17 collections of poetry. She now has 17 novels with The Testaments, collections of short stories. She's written kids' books. She's written a graphic novel. But in terms of when the world starts to pay attention, as always, it's when something happens, like you get nominated for the Booker. And Handmaid's Tale was nominated for the Booker in 85. Cat's Eye got nominated not a long time after that. And eventually then she goes and wins the Booker in 2000 and wins the Impact Prize in 2000 as well. And at that stage, and that's like 19 years ago at this stage, but she has then become one of the kind of towering figures of contemporary literature.
Okay, so we're talking Canadian poet, novelist, literary critic, essayist, inventor, teacher, environmental activist, the whole shebang. In terms of The Handmaid's Tale, we'll just say for a second we might know what that one's about. Generally, does she cover the same sort of stuff in the other books?
No, she covers everything. And it's that really interesting thing about Margaret Atwood. At the moment, she's best known for what is essentially speculative dystopian fiction, which is Handmaid's Tale and this. She's also written other spec fic books as well. If anybody knows the Mad Adam trilogy that she wrote in the last kind of 10, 15 years, they're exceptional books as well and are also speculative fiction, also set in a future that's just slightly far away from us, but deals with really contemporary topics. But then she has written in historical novels and she has written, you know, she writes very, very widely and quite extensively. And it's just, I think that because Handmaid's Tale has become the cultural phenomenon it has in the last few years, that's why people associate her.
And the cultural phenomenon that it has become,
yeah.
Me Too and all the rest of it, and the visual side of all of that and how visual it all is. How does she feel about all that?
Yeah,
it's been appropriated by a movement outside anything she was writing about.
It has very much, and ask Alan Moore about that with the V for Vendetta masks. I think there was a perfect storm moment where you have Donald Trump elected as President of the United States. You have him starting to do things he starts to do in the areas that Margaret Atwood is interested in, so both in climate and in areas that are connected to women's rights. Then the TV series comes along as well at the same time. So then so many more people will get to understand what it's about. And then you have that moment, as happened with the V for Vendetta masks, where the handmade outfits start to turn up at protests. Mm. And it starts to become something much bigger than either a book or a television series. It starts to become something that people use to express themselves as part of a movement. She herself, I mean, that depends on how you're using the outfits. She's never come out publicly and said, this is a terrible idea, whatever you do, don't go wearing handmade outfits at events like this. To be honest with you, if you saw any of the footage that came from the Testaments launch that happened in, she was in London for the launch the other night, there are huge amounts of handmade gear and yeah. Testaments gear turning up everywhere, right the way to being on the top of, you know, launch cupcakes. So I think that horse has long since bolted.
And what about the horse of, you know, Programme 11 onwards right up to Programme 30 that we've seen? In other words, season 2 and season 3 on TV, which is not her.
Yeah, it's
what does she think?
It's the George R.R. Martin thing. It's the you know, there, you've got a set of books and a TV series, and the two kind of...
He was just getting a bit too slow and they needed to get the Game of Thrones done.
Without question, you know, George, where's the next novel? She herself has been involved in the TV series since the beginning, or was involved in series 1 certainly. There's a very, very brief cameo appearance that she makes as one of the aunts. If you look very quickly, you'll see her in a very Hitchcock-esque...
One of the Marthas?
She's one of the aunts where she appears in series 1. There's something terrible happening to somebody and you see her in the background. So she has had an involvement and a hand in all this. She is not writing these series. She has not been involved in where the story takes off beyond that. But maybe there's an element of the Testaments is now her kind of reasserting authorship over her own universe.
Exactly. So in other words... anybody who might want the final, I presume, is season 4 in terms of TV the final one?
You know, Dave, series are only ever the final one when it stops becoming profitable.
Yeah, well,
so
true,
as to whether or not that continues to roll on, and again with the Testaments now being bought by the same people and for the same network in the States, who knows where that's going to go from.
Okay, well then on that note then, your man who did Game of Thrones, is he going to finish something that he would see to be the end of Game of Thrones? The amount of people that didn't like the last bunches of that because he didn't write them.
I've watched one episode ever of Game of Thrones, Dave. And I know that seems weird for somebody who is as pop culturally immersed as I am. I've seen episode 1 actually about 2 months ago. And I thought, yeah, that's all right. I didn't go back.
Yeah, right. Well, you can't judge those things. Now, hold on a minute. You got to give it a lot more than that. How's the book club doing, by the way, Rick?
27,500 people as of yesterday, Dave. Yeah, the book club's great. It's a nice part of the world to be in. Everybody comes in. We talk about books. If you just look up the Ricochet Book Club on Facebook, and we spend all of our time having a chat about new stuff that comes out. And I started a new culture Facebook group last week as well, where people come in and talk about theatre and about if they're going out to gigs or events or comedy or any of that kind of stuff. And that's in there as well.
Good man yourself, Rick. Rick O'Shea, thanks a million for dropping in, Rick.
Pleasure, Dave. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.